This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London, Nick. How are you?
I'm good, Johnny. It's good to be back with you.
Interesting to see the latest PCE numbers earlier today. But before I ask you about that, I just wanted to get your reflections on the presidential debate, not the debate itself, but market reaction, because obviously the performance of Joe Biden has been taking most of the headlines over the last half day or so. Did markets actually react to what was going on last night?
Yeah, so the debates themselves, of course, draw a huge crowd. I saw, at least when I was looking at it, it was like live streams all over the place with 500,000 people on every stream. Every stream, it was crazy. There was just a ton of people tuning in to listen to Biden and Trump go at it. And in terms of a market reaction, we did see some volatility during that period. I was keeping an eye on it just to see, and the dollar index was trailing higher leading into the event. Around 8:30 p.m., the debate was at 9 p.m. Eastern time. We saw the dollar index begin to climb, and it climbed all the way through for most of the debate. You know, there's some speculation as to why that may have been. And, you know, we also saw the stock market make a move higher during that time in the futures market. We saw, again, a push higher during the running up moments to the debate and actually during the event itself. We saw stocks moving higher. So kind of an interesting response from markets. Certainly volatility is to be expected when it comes to events like this, as policy from the government is going to have huge impact on different markets and different areas. Now, what was also very interesting about this, you know, volatility was very high, but what at least I can see from the headlines, and there's always bias in headlines, is that the debate didn't go particularly well for Joe Biden. Some people were critical of his stance. Now, you can throw stones at both of these guys. There's always something to pick on, whether either side. But in terms of just a pure market reaction, if there is some sway in expectations, and we can point to some figures with this. There were some during the debates. Many of the betting sites that track the probabilities based on betting of who is going to win the presidential election did swing a little bit more in favor of Trump during the debate. That volatility can also be found in the biggest voting system of the entire world, which is the stock market and the global financial markets, which saw some sway during the event, perhaps some people factoring in that same possibility of a Trump presidency takeover, so on and so forth. Regardless, volatility, in my view, is likely to be higher for the rest of this year. We'll see if that is in fact the case. Even if you like one of them over the other, there's clearly a lot of tension in that room when they go at it. Just a personal take too. I found it kind of frustrating that they spent a lot more time arguing with one another rather than really diving into the topics at hand. But regardless, market volatility wise, there was clearly a lot of that. And going into today, where there was no shortage of that with PCE numbers too.
That's right. The PCE numbers came in according to projections. But there was, I think, good news, because it's the lowest annual rate in May in over 3 years, rising 0.1% from April's reading. So some encouraging news?
Yes, I would say that if you're looking at the PCE figure and you're saying, here we are, the Fed's preferred measurement of inflation, the PCE number, core PCE came down to 2.6 on a year-over-year basis, as you mentioned, from its previous 2.8%. That is progress. And that is also progress in what the Fed deems its preferred measurement of inflation. We're in the twos on that front. Now, you could point to different particular components of the inflation report. You look at the CPI, it's in the threes. The direction, at least for this report, was some progress in inflation. We've seen that in the last CPI report as well. Stock market absolutely took no split second to wait to really get excited about this. We saw the NASDAQ head back over briefly 20,000 on the NASDAQ index, which is quite impressive. And then, you know, has actually seen a bit of a intraday reversal. One thing to point out, as you mentioned, Johnny, with the figure, it was a good, you know, year over year improvement. But there was, on the month-over-month basis, a revision to the previous number higher. So we, on the last number, I believe it was 0.2% month-over-month, and then it got revised to 0.3%. So some give, some take. I would actually classify this as a bit of a neutral report. Yes, inflation showed some progress, but you saw some revisions. And then you also have commentary that surrounds it from Fed officials that is more, you know, mixed. Some Fed officials have recently come out more hawkish, saying that inflation's not where it needs to be. There's no rush. And we've heard that story over and over. But I think what's worth mentioning, what's worth looking for with Fed officials is not necessarily if they change their tone or not, but if they double down and say it way more frequently, it still, you know, means a lot. It's like almost like the frequency at which they say inflation is transitory, or the frequency at which they say inflation is not moving in the right direction, means something. We're seeing a lot more Fed officials, it seems, take up a bit of a hawkish stance, especially with stock markets reaching all-time highs. It seems like every day that also has an inflationary component too that we've talked about. And the final thing just to mention is oil prices have been on the rise recently. Rising oil prices, we've talked about that many times on the podcast, do have a supply side inflation impact.
Brent crude today up again at around $85 a barrel, and WTI currently at 81.5 or thereabouts. Let's talk about the week to come. Of course, this time next week here in the UK, we will know whether or not we've got a new prime minister and a new government. It certainly looks that way according to the polls, with the Labour Party miles ahead of the Conservative Party, who've been in power for 14 years. And it looks like it could be an historic election with a virtual wipeout of the Conservative Party on a par that we've not seen in over a century. It's going to be fascinating seeing what happens over the next few days to see if the Conservatives can at least close that gap. What sticks out for you over the next week or so?
Well, it sticks out to me, at least when it comes to the election stuff that's going on. We knew this was coming. I remember at the beginning of the year, Johnny, I was told you that last year when I was on going to Thanksgiving, that I was relishing in the fact that there were not elections because of the dinner table politics that come with that, with your families and so on and so forth. Well, this year, we're not exempt from that. We've got, as you mentioned, in the UK, some elections that are, of course, very important to the UK and the US. Obviously, we've got the presidential election. Here you have this overarching theme, which is we're picking up the pieces from COVID. And whether you're in the UK or the US, the whole world faced this traumatic, very troubling event. When you shut down global economies, it has huge repercussions. And it doesn't matter who's in power. The opponents of those in-party powers are taking this as an advantage to kind of point to, well, look what you've done. You know, yesterday, Joe Biden and Donald Trump, at least on our end, were pointing out the you know, faults of the other, claiming, for example, Joe Biden pointing out that he inherited a terrible labor market from Donald Trump, and Donald Trump pointing out that under Biden, inflation has skyrocketed. But both of those are unfair to one another because they both kind of don't account for the fact that inflation was driven much higher through the spending of Donald Trump, but also the spending of Biden. And then flip, conversely, the unemployment statistic is not very fair to look at because COVID wiped out employment around the world for a brief time. And then there was a resurgence in jobs, you know, globally after the fact. So to claim those as victories or defeats, I think is very confusing. And perhaps, Johnny, that does open up a window where we see change in leadership and we see people frustrated with how things have been. And with that, naturally, that change, that's kind of where I go back to this volatility thing where I think we could continue to see escalating volatility. And I'm not alone in that. If you look at VIX futures for this year going out, markets are expecting higher volatility. And I think that is a fair assumption.
We should mention, of course, the elections in France, the first round of voting on Sunday. The result of that election could also create volatility in European markets because it looks as if, according to the opinion polls, Marine Le Pen's party, which is extending its lead according to the polls, could actually win that first round of voting, which would be absolutely extraordinary. Over the last few weeks, we've seen European markets very uncertain about what is happening in France, and there has been a certain amount of contagion in that.
Yeah. And again, it's just more of what we've been talking about. This uncertainty with elections brings volatility. The euro has been trending lower. I mean, you could make a good case that a lot of that is due to the dollar strength, but perhaps the euro underperforming the pound a little bit recently. You know, in the last month or two, since early May, we've really seen the euro underperforming the pound, arguably is where the uncertainty is lying right now. I mean, there's uncertainty in many parts, but clearly the European elections and the sudden elections and the volatility in the that process is concerning to markets. I mean, that's one thing that you always have to remember about markets is markets are really not excited when they see uncertainty. When there's big question marks that flail up, the market would probably rally. Just as an example, if you had a solid answer right now, who's going to be president, I think the market would rally regardless of which one you said for the US. I think that that uncertainty by itself causes fear in markets. So fear could be equated just in that common, the VIX, right? The volatility index. So just worth mentioning that this election period is likely to cause bigger swings on many of the charts that we watch and talk about.
And apart from all this election stuff, Nick, what else is happening over the next week?
Yeah, so next week we get back on track a little bit with more economic data. We've got NFP on Friday. That is the big, obvious kind of one in the room. Another thing to mention just about next week is that next week is the 4th of July, which for the U.S. Listeners is obviously a federal holiday. Markets will likely be quiet during that time. I believe the stock market will be closed here in the New York Stock Exchange. But in terms of global, you know, futures, FX, volatility will likely be a little bit lighter than usual. And then things are kind of probably going to be full swing back on Friday as that jobs data is incredibly important to markets.
Okay, Nick, have a very good weekend. We'll speak to you again on Wednesday.
Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.